This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Aljaž, board observer, Lightning Landscape and Bitcoin Ljubljana, Slovenia.
The Carniolan sausage is a Slovenian sausage which is made using the finest pork and bacon with added sodium nitrate and seasoned solely with garlic and pepper. Do you know it can be only produced by no more than 15 Slovene producers that have obtained a special certificate for its production?
No.
Fight Club is a 1999 American film directed by David Fincher and starring Brad Pitt, Edward Norton and Helena Bonham Carter. Did you know that Edward Norton lost 17 to 20 pounds for this role and achieved this by running, taking vitamins and just ignoring the on-set catering?
No.
During the winter period, I drink more rum than whiskey.
Yes.
I started to run my first Lightning Node in early 2019.
Yes.
Richard Phillips Feynman was an American theoretical physicist, known for his work in the path integral formulation of quantum mechanics, quantum electrodynamics, and the physics of superfluidity of supercooled liquid helium. Did you know two photographs of Feynman were used in Apple Computer's iconic Think Different advertising campaign, which launched in 1997?
Yes.
Having two consecutive 8-hour layovers in the same journey is an overwhelming fun experience.
Yes.
Robert Greene is an American author of books on strategy, power, and seduction. He has written 6 international bestsellers. Greene's sixth book, The Laws of Human Nature, was released in October 2018. The book examines people's conscience and unconscious drives, motivations, and cognitive biases. Is your vision on Bitcoin also biased?
Yes.
BTC City is a shopping mall, sports, entertainment, and business area in Ljubljana, Slovenia, with more than 500 shops. It is one of the largest shopping and entertainment complexes in Europe. Do you think it's a shame that you can't pay with Bitcoin there?
Yes.
I haven't seen a single match of the World Cup in Qatar yet.
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 56 of Connect the World. Steph.
Hey.
Hey. Good to see you again.
Yes, man.
Oh, yeah, you watched the ultimate game, of course.
Oh, last night, Argentina. Yeah, man. It was amazing. Argentina, France. Yeah, it was amazing, man. I think it was the best finale that I have ever watched. But also, I think, maybe it was the best soccer game or football game.
And I'm curious, how do you see, what do you think about that it's, that the match is determined in the end game in penalties?
I hate it, to be honest, because Holland, we've been kicked out by penalties. And I always hate it because it's never in my favor. I always lose it when I cheer for a team that's in a penalty knockout. I always lose. But I need to be honest, last night history was made. I mean, the game, it was such an incredible game. The first half, Argentina was the best team on the field. And then the second half, France scored the equalizer. And then France became the better team on the pitch. So it was great, man. And Mbappé, I mean, do I need to say more, man? The guy is 22, I think, or 23. And he scored three goals in the match. And then also he scored his penalty in the penalty shootout. I mean, the guy is such an amazing footballer.
And I also think the penalty shootout, they're tired because it's so such a long game and it's so important. There's so much pressure.
But you know what can they do else? Well, in history, you had the golden goal, right? So they have to play until someone scored. And that was also something. One. Yeah, but then everyone was very defensive. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's something that's sometimes. It's no other way, right? It's just, this is the way, you know? But people can call me crazy, but I had tears in my eyes, to be honest. You know, I'm a big fan of Messi. I watched him play live, I think, 7-8 times or something. I used to go every year to Barcelona to watch him play. And but there was one thing missing, and that was a world title. And now he achieved that. Yeah, so, it's a big crown.
Yeah, very special.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So great to see him win. Well, they defeated us, the Netherlands. So people may be angry.
Yeah, that's sad, right?
Yeah, but, you know, of course, I preferred that that Holland, won the World Cup. But to be honest, the team wasn't that good this year.
That's right.
And because also the philosophy was not good.
As a final against Argentina is awesome, of course. But you're right. If you see the game with France, then
And now to all the criticizers that say that Messi isn't that good as Maradona, you can shut up forever because I won't say that Messi is far more better, but I think he's amazing too, right? So enjoyed it, man. So now it's over. So but the good thing is normally I hate it when that the tournament was in the middle of the winter because normally it's in the summer.
You in have the summer,
barbecue beers and all.
Watching outside, man. Yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah, but the good thing about this is that in 2 or 3 weeks the club leagues are going to start again. So so the winter period is over. So there's no big pause. So we can just keep watching football.
Great. Yeah, great.
And how was your weekend, Edward?
Well, I am in between weddings. Tomorrow we have another wedding. So
you have to divorce your wife and then tomorrow you're going to marry your next wife, right?
Again. Okay. In between weddings. That would be weird. No, but so we had a huge wedding hangover day. I don't know. I think in the winter, everything is more takes more effort. Mm. So I was exhausted. But up and running again, and then tomorrow I will be dead again and the end of the day. But it'll be an amazing, heartwarming day.
I reckon. Yeah. You're such a nice guy, man. You work so hard,
Thanks.
Eddie.
Yeah, that's right. But doing what you love is the most important. So.
Yes, of course, of course. Yeah. Well, talking about doing what we love, we created our Connect the World NFC card, right?
And
We have released it at Bitcoin Amsterdam.
I have it here.
In the Westergasfabriek in October it was.
Yeah.
But all good things come to an end because the card will be hosted by Connect the World by us until the 12th of January, as earlier mentioned in the leaflet, and also we told it by to everyone we handed over the cards, right? But it's a good reminder for all the people that are using an NFC card that please, before the 12th of January, you need to clear your funds. So you need to, wipe them. And then you can still use them. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
And we made a very nice, we written out how you can use them. So you can check our website when it's live again. and you can scan the QR code on the flyers we hand it over to you. Please wipe the cards before the 12th of January.
Yeah, so good to know you're using our services with this card and you can attach it to your own services. So
yeah, exactly. If you get they can still be used, but we can't be the custodian anymore.
No, indeed. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And... well, this week we have another guest, of course, and it's Elges Seru, and he is the co-founder and CEO of Bolt Observer and also the co-founder of Bitcoin Ljubljana, a meetup group in Slovenia.
Yep,
so I'm curious about
his
Bolt
story. Yeah. And before we continue, Edward, I would like to thank the whole team who worked on the Connect the World card, right?
Of course.
It was powered by Alan Bates from Ben Arc, the amazing Ben Arc, and the whole team of the Daily Moon, Yvette, Slapio, Ramon, the guys did an amazing job in creating the card. And I think, I still got all the notifications when the card is used because Boss is Balance of Satoshis is connected to our node, and we see all the traffic. So it's not that we can see who is paying who, but we can see there is traffic, and it's still nice. Well, it got used. So So thanks to all of you for working your ass off to get this project succeed. So.
Oh, and interesting to know, they also use it in Africa. Mm-hmm. I saw the pictures, and it's amazing to see that we just showed it's possible to do it yourself and to make it yourself and then to host it yourself.
Yep.
So it's more like a proof that it can be done. So
Okay, so let's continue to talk a little bit about the statistics of the Lightning Network and about our Rings of Fire community, Edward.
Yeah.
Connect or Mundo.
Okay, so last week we had a little over 49.37 Bitcoin pushed into the Lightning Network, and this week it's 49.89. So a nice increase with around 1,579 members participating in over 212 rings.
Awesome. And we're now at block height 768,076. And if we look at the Lightning Network as a whole, we look at emboss.space for the statistics. And there are 19 nodes more than last week. It's now 16,887 with more than 5,270 Bitcoin inside the network.
Yeah, it's a bear market, but this is still increasing every week, right?
Indeed.
And today's value of 1 million Satoshis is $168, 158 euros in 1,171 Chinese yuan. And this is the same for weeks now.
Tilknet. Well.
And then some highlighted news updates from last week brought to you by the Daily Moon. I'm going to start with the hottest headline because I think it's the most promising project in a long run, and I'm really bullish about it.
It looks like you're shilling a shitcoin or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really bullish about
okay,
it.
Come on.
It has a great future, and you need to invest in it.
It's no shitcoin, luckily. But I will make it clear why it's so important. From the start, the former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, which we all know, now is the CEO of Block, from which Spiral originated. And he granted funding of 14 Bitcoin to Fiatjev. And Fiatjev, we talked to him in an earlier episode, 23, I guess. And he received it for developments on Nostr.
Nostar.
And it was Nostar. Yeah, Ben Arc told us to tell it like that. And it was interesting because I saw there was, because he's funding a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
And he tweeted that he was funding, I guess, Spiral. And then Coty, another user, which we know from Thunder. He replied, also fund Nostr. And then Jack Dorsey said, well, I'm searching how to do that. And then he made it possible. So 14 Bitcoin for the developments on Nostr. Well,
that's
what
really
is Nostr?
Nice.
Yeah, it's amazing for all those developers that are busy with it. And Nostr, to explain it in a nutshell, it's an attempt to make social networks free, open, without giving the control to a single company. It provides a censorship-resistant, real-time database, and anyone can run a Nostr relay, and no single relay is in control of the data. So that's the most important thing. And what was interesting is that one day later, a tweet came out on Twitter support, which is deleted today.
Yeah.
So it's yesterday for the recording. And it said that users are not allowed to link anymore to external other social media platforms. Also, Linktree is not allowed, and could be a coincidence, I guess. But they also mentioned Noster, so that's strange.
Crazy, right?
Next to all those great names, or great names, big names, there was Noster. And I guess people are thinking, normal people, mainstream, see the name Noster, and then they think, what is it? So that's strange to put it up there.
Yeah.
Fjatjaf was great. He sent half of the funds to the developers of Demus. And Demus is an iOS Noster client because you have a lot of different clients that you could use. And it works with keys. So you have a private key and a public key. And with those keys, you are a unique person and can log in to one of those clients and use it.
A nice quote from Jack on Noster, because he says this is exactly what early and pre 5,000 users Twitter felt like, but better. So that's promising, right?
And it felt like that. I was in Noster, and it's so tiny, it's so experimental, and he's just talking there and a lot of other people. It's the beginning of something that could potentially grow very big, yep. I think. Well, let's check it out from time to time and see where it goes. I think with the funding they got, it can become a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And another thing, LNURL auth for WordPress. Developer Joel Mellon, he's a plugin developer for WordPress. He released a plugin that allows you to log in using LNURL auth if you have a WordPress website. So that's interesting. And I have one update that's worth mentioning. It was from Lightning Development Kit from Spiral.
Jack Dorsey all the way.
Jack Dorsey all the way. And it has 210 commits from 18 contributors. So a lot of updates up there, API updates, bug fixes, and backwards compatibility. I've put the link in the show notes. You check all the changes.
Perfect. Well, I don't have any balance rings this week, Edward. So do you want to read more and stay up to date about everything related to Lightning, the news, and updates, then head over to ddm.news. And follow the Daily Moon on Twitter or Telegram. And we can now go right back to the Lightning Notes.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Соединим этот мир.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible. And keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like Minode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF. And follow our Lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SATA trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Connect the world.
Welcome, LGS.
Welcome, man. Welcome on the show.
Welcome, welcome. Hey, having two consecutive eight-hour layovers in the same journey is an overwhelming fun experience. I think most of the people won't say this, but you said it. You tweeted it out. When was it? It was obviously when you headed over to El Salvador, I think.
Yeah, actually, one of the layovers was in Holland, so...
Oh, really? In Amsterdam?
Yeah. Not the most pleasant airport lately.
No, but it wasn't... You didn't have enough time to just go out and visit the beautiful city of Amsterdam?
Well, have you seen the security and the lines?
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, it's not going to change.
No, but the first one was then in Holland, and the second one was in?
Mexico City.
Okay. So, I even don't have to ask then to you, did you have a jet lag when you arrived to El Salvador?
Well, not really, because I just slept or spent most of the time awake. It's hard to tell. Also, it's hard to distinguish between jet lag and hangover these days. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you combined both worlds.
Yes. Worst of both worlds.
Perfect. And how was it in El Salvador?
Amazing. I'm always happy to go back there. Really sad.
And not only because... Sorry, what did you say?
Really sad to return to Europe.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Hey, and not only for the weather, of course.
No, I mean, the people are great. The weather is, of course, amazing. The food is great. But also this thing that they adopted as a legal tender is also pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Nice. Hey, and what was the talk that stood out the most for you?
I only seen mine.
Oh, really? and the bar, probably.
Well, I actually see talks. Mine and the one where we announced Lightning Landscape. So.
Okay.
And how was yours then? Was it what you expected from it, or?
Definitely. I mean, I expected that not many people will show up at 9:30 in the morning on a second day of conference, so that's
a bit early.
Proved out to be correct. Probably, but it was fun. The people who managed to wake up that early definitely seemed to enjoy it, since we had some conversations after it.
Oh, that's great.
Perfect.
Yeah, you only have to have a couple of people that you're really connecting to with your story. So it's the same, I think.
It's proof of work that you want to see somebody speaking at 9:30. So
yeah. Indeed. Yeah, and you haven't seen a single match of the World Cup. I must say it's difficult, but for you it isn't.
I wouldn't even know it's happening if the venue where the conference was happening didn't turn into a World Cup festival afterwards.
Too much lightning stuff to do.
Yeah, there's, at least in my opinion, better uses of my time.
Well, time is very limited, right?
No, that's
but
right.
I mean, I'm a soccer fan. I think everyone knows by now. But But even I know that time
Formula
is
One.
I spend way too much time on watching sports, and I can also. But to be honest, I also spend way too much time on Bitcoin. So
you can't spend too much time on this.
No, well,
Luke,
yeah.
That's the right answer.
That's correct, but I think, maybe you can explain my wife.
I'm sure she's equally happy with you watching football all the time.
No, that's correct. I think she might hate me. When I'm thinking about it now, she might hate me. No. But I saw that you tweeted out that, or maybe you stated it in one of the questions we asked you, that you don't even know if Bitcoin is a hobby for you or it is it obviously is also a part of your profession. But how does it feel for you? Is it something you see as work, or?
I mean, yes and no, because my interest overlap or interview with what I do professionally. So they always did. So it's hard to say where work stops and fun starts. Of course, building a new company is not an easy experience every day, all the time, but it's still fun. And this space is great to explore. There's tons of good people to work with and collaborate on ideas. So
yeah.
I always say that my pet projects have pet projects. So that's kind of where we are with this.
Yeah.
It is a thin line. I think for us it's the same, Steph.
Yeah.
It's a way of life, and you just are busy with it. Not all day long, but most of the day.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So in the evening you take time and you meet friends and discuss Bitcoin. So did you really stop working?
And you also worked for some time at Bitstamp, correct?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, because you have a lot of experience in the tech industry, what led you to start in the business of Lightning or starting your own business, that's a whole different thing, right? So there must be some kind of trigger.
Well, I was running my own consultancy before Bitstamp anyway. So there was always an itch to build something of my own. It just took a while to get there. And I mean, I knew Lightning will be my next thing after the Bitcoin, the Lightning conference in Berlin in 2019.
Yeah.
It took 2 more years for it to actually happen, but now it's a very fun ride.
And this conference in Berlin, this was your first experience with the Lightning Network? Or
No. I was running nodes and everything since beginning of the year, or maybe even a bit sooner. But in Berlin, I saw like this is really happening. The vibe there, the environment, all the people building stuff. For me, it kind of clicked that it went from a fun experiment to this is real now. We can build something on top of this.
Yeah. And was there already a Lightning bear tap? Because we saw someone that was using a Lightning bear tap in 2019 already,
right? In 2019,
Yes.
Whoa, that's early, man.
And it was definitely still cheap. Well, it's going to be an expensive beer someday.
Yeah.
But compared to Lightning tap this year, that was pretty cheap. I think it was like 300 sets for a beer.
Oh, really? Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
We had one yesterday at a meetup we
organized. And how much was it, Steph? It was 16,000?
16,000 satoshis for one beer. Yeah. But it's less than 2.5 euros. So it's pretty cheap still. But, well, satoshi-wise, it's increased a lot.
I think it's cheap because for 250, I buy a cappuccino at the swimming lesson.
Yeah, when you're lucky.
when I'm lucky.
It's going to be the most expensive beer you ever bought someday.
Yeah, but we have a nice story to tell then, right?
That's right, children.
So. I mean, I'm always hoping that the 300 set beer will be the most expensive beer I ever bought.
That would be nice. I'm hoping with you, man. That's good for all of us.
Someday.
Well, Elgis, great to have you on the show. We're really looking forward to talk to you, to interview you about the Bolt that Observer. And also, we want to talk a little bit about Bitcoin Ljubljana. It's also a project that you manage, but it has to be in 21 minutes. I would like to know if you are ready for that part so we can enter that part.
I was born ready.
Perfect, let's do it.
Tilknet. Well.
Yeah, so well, let's start with Bolt Observer. You started Bolt Observer at the beginning of this year, and Bolt Observer is a monitoring and management tool for Lightning Network nodes. What triggered you as a Lightning node operator yourself to start the service? So what did you miss?
Well, I was running Lightning nodes for Bitstamp and other infrastructure, and my background is enterprise IT and things, so I saw there's a gap in tooling because all of the tooling or majority of the tooling in the space is currently built by hackers, enthusiasts, and that's also majority of their target audience for the tools. But for Lightning to grow up, we need maybe a different kind of tools, more mature, more adaptable to business needs, to potential jurisdiction requirements, things like that. So I wanted to create a company and build a tech stack for businesses that want to participate in Lightning Network and make it easy for them and maybe help the adoption in that way.
Perfect. And with Bolt Observer, it's possible to check the availability changes of your Lightning node and set up customizable alerts. And you also released a Lightning Node Explorer to be able to drill down into Lightning Network's graph data. Can you explain the onboarding process? How does someone start and how does it actually work?
So besides what you mentioned, we released Adopting Bitcoin also our Liquid Ops product, which is like liquidity management or currently more monitoring. So not just reachability, but also if you want to know if your inbound, outbound capacity is gone or like your channel peers disappeared, closed. But as terms of onboarding goes, we're a software as a service company, so onboarding is familiar to everyone who ever registered to our website. We currently only support email registration, but we are adding LNauth and things like that.
Okay. Perfect. That's nice. Yeah. Because those changes are so, makes it so seamlessly. So that's great. Yeah. And as you said before, running a Lightning node and maintaining, it can be difficult for and time consuming also for a node operator. And the hardcore node operators know this, of course. But what could be some examples of problems that a node operator can experience?
Well, you can start with hardware. Hardware tends to die sooner or later. That kind of touches one of my, not problems, but pet peeves with the network, because I personally think that the payment network of the future does not necessarily run on Raspberry Pis.
even though
it might be an unpopular opinion. But if we move further on, liquidity management has historically been a pretty complicated problem for Lightning node operators, but also currently implementations, or at least the popular ones, especially LND with the majority share, is not exactly enterprise architecture to software. So there's also things that you need to take care of because the software does not yet support scalability failovers, high availability, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And talking about reliability, enhancing payment reliability should be a priority. You stated before that the transaction success rate is still low. What are the biggest problems at this moment, and how can node operators help to solve these in the future? We have a lot of node operators within our community, so maybe you can give some insights to that.
Well, yeah, as I've been preaching through several of my talks, Lightning Neighborhood is what you should be very aware of, because those are currently, let's say, majority of the payments happen within 3 or 4 hops or less on average. So basically your neighborhood, which is 2-3 hops around you, is where most of your payment activity actually happens. So you need to be careful where you're connecting, what paths are you actually using, because, for example, if you have a couple of Tor nodes on your route, that can add significant latency to the payment or to the user experience. If you have to check a couple of potential paths that are through unmanaged nodes with bad liquidity management over Tor, that can add like orders of magnitude latency to your payment. Mm-hmm. And that is not a user experience that anyone wants. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's good to tackle this now, because there are, of course, a lot of node operators also in our community that use, if you install a very simple distribution, then you have a Tor node. That's the first thing you have. Is that something that in the future already now something that will become obsolete because it just doesn't work for the payment network that we want to achieve?
It's hard to say it will become obsolete, and maybe just you as a private user that uses your own node as a wallet, that experience could be acceptable. And also Tor network has had some problems. We also need to explore additional privacy networks like I2C and stuff like that. So, but like for major routing nodes, I think Tor might not be really optimal right now.
No.
So if node owners use the Lightning Network Explorer on the Boltov server service, they want to see if it's a Tor node, because then they don't want to open a channel with them, right?
For example, yes.
Yeah, for example.
So you recommend everyone to run a hybrid node, as we call them?
I wouldn't go that far, because firstly, it has privacy implications that people might not be aware of. But if you want to build like a major routing node and potentially earn from that or use it as a business, you will probably end up using ClearNet as well, not just Tor.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. Yeah, we tested also with our own node, and it was 4 times faster to run it on a hybrid mode. It was crazy. You said it before, Lightning Core developers also have a leading role here. And when I attended a roundtable meeting of Lightning Labs, for example, I also see a lot of the more experienced routing node operators there, like Carsten Otto. And I think it's awesome that so many different stakeholders from the Lightning Network are present at such a meeting. What are other things that you can think businesses as Async, Lightning Labs, Blockstream can do for routing node operators to help them continue their work?
Well, I already hinted in this direction, but I think more enterprise-like architecture in terms of high availability, things like that would be very appreciated because it's among businesses in the space. It's a problem that we're all facing and trying to solve. So that's definitely one of the focuses. But also, I think it was like 2 years ago on one of the roundtables, people started asking about accounting and things like that, which is a very good milestone for the industry, because when people care about accounting, that means that actually something is happening here. So I think we will, despite that we're all cypherpunks and privacy geeks, we will need to actually slightly cooperate with the real world and maybe prepare for some use cases that are needed for normal people that do not spend all their
normal people.
Exactly.
Okay. And with Bolt Observer, you of course also run a node. But how does the measurement work? Do you use this node for this? And what software are you running on this node? Or you maybe you use an external node for your service?
The node that you're referring is my private node, basically.
Okay.
For our infrastructure, we have several nodes. We're positioned all across the graph, and then we run measurements through them, so we can have a distributed view of the network, etc.
Yeah, and on the website of Bolt Observer, you can also find, like we said, the Lightning Network Explorer, with the possibility also to check the latency of other nodes, and also to check if you can start a channel, for example, with a node very far away. How can this help a routing node operator?
Well, I already mentioned the neighborhood, and there's many explorers out there. The way we designed ours was, firstly, we designed it because we had internal needs where we were trying to position our own node infrastructure in different parts of the network. So we wanted to see how far away it is from certain nodes.
Yeah.
So the way we designed the explorer is you basically explore the network from the point of view of your node. So you say, okay, this is my node, this is reference node. I want to see nodes that are, I don't know, three hops away from me with more than 2 BTC capacity, average fees below, I don't know, 200 sets and things like that. So it enables you to approach picking your potential channel partners with more data-driven approach than just finding somebody who has a good node name or connecting to another exchange like everyone in the space does.
And we also read that the node geographical location can be improved because around 50% of public channels have a geographical distance larger than 5,000 kilometers. We try to help out with our Rings of Fire community to connect people to each other. We have also a lot of people that have a big distance between them. But what are other possible solutions to this problem?
Well, you definitely don't want to pay over Tor and route your payment for Lightning Tap beer over the entire continent or a couple of times around, because you will dehydrate before the payment gets through.
It's fun to do it one time, but no, you're absolutely right.
For the second round, you're definitely using someone closer. So I think that geographical location might start making more sense when we see more economic activity replicating the network topology. So, for example, if you're a merchant in El Zonte, you don't want to connect to people in Japan and New Zealand to route your payments from. You want someone locally, maybe as far as Guatemala, but not across the ocean, because it's where your economic activity happens, where you transact the most. So
that's a big difference, because of course, with the invention of the internet, it was at first a giant success that you could have thousands of kilometers between two computers and send a message. And of course, that is awesome. But if you want to have this to work, it needs to be dense and it needs to be distributed. So distributed computing is very, very important. How big is your team at the moment at Bolt Observer?
There's currently 6 of us.
Okay.
Yeah, as of last month.
And working all remotely?
We're completely distributed.
Awesome.
More than 5,000 kilometers between you?
And they have the node there.
I would have to check Google Maps.
Okay.
Hey, what are some of you guys' business for future plans with Bolt Observer?
Well, we've already hinted where we're going in one direction through Liquid Ops. So we want to create a tech stack that eliminates the complexity of node running from people. So like, you two might want to start a fun Lightning app. You don't necessarily want to become an expert in node management.
That's right.
So we need to make this simple as possible as industry, provide the tools to businesses, because not every business needs to become Lightning infrastructure business, because that's insane.
Like, like you explained the use case for merchants, of course. And do you also think that it will be possible to have a node in the cloud or something with Bolt Observer then, perhaps?
We don't necessarily want to be infrastructure providers.
Okay.
We're more aiming to be the software that helps you run your node, because keep your keys.
Yeah.
We don't want access to your keys or the underlying infrastructure. We just want to provide you with the tools so you can run your node successfully and make a great business out of it.
Yeah. Well, perhaps there are so many businesses out there. There will be some interesting corporations or something in the future. So we're going to check it. Let's head over to Bitcoin Ljubljana, because you are also the co-founder of the Bitcoin Ljubljana meetup group from Slovenia. And you organize monthly Bitcoin events, open discussions, and help educate newcomers. Very important, of course. How did you start this, and what are the returns for the Slovenian Bitcoin and Lightning scene at this time there?
Well, this basically started from a group of friends that we were all interested in Lightning, and we occasionally met for a beer, discussed Lightning, or even a video call during COVID. But last August, we were sitting there, there was 6 of us, and why don't we make this public? There's more people that's interested in Bitcoin and Lightning. Let's just start making events out of them. So first couple of months, there was maybe 10, 12 of us, and we started with very technical topics, because we were all interested in like this and researching everything around the space. And it always gave us a good excuse to spend a weekend or a couple of nights diving deep into something that might necessarily is not a business use case. But currently, we then, of course, expanded the topics a bit, because we started to have bigger crowds. But now we have currently, I would say, 30, 40 people regularly every month.
So that's a lot. Yeah, grow a lot. You could also start a podcast then in Slovenia. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing in this space. Eventually, everyone has a podcast.
Yeah, we can tell it was.
Yeah, indeed.
But how is the overall adoption of Bitcoin and Lightning in your neighborhood in Slovenia? We saw that, ironically, the biggest shopping mall, one of the biggest shopping malls in Europe, is called BTC City. And well, yeah, it's just coincidence, of course. But how's the adoption over there?
Not as good as one would hope, of course.
Yeah.
We do have some local crypto providers that enable crypto, not Bitcoin payments.
Yeah.
Important distinction, but it's kind of a walled garden situation. But the problem is also that the jurisdiction is not the most favorable in terms of accepting Bitcoin payments. There's lots of uncertainty. Well, I would say entire Europe is extremely unfavorable towards that. So there's not enough adoption, let's put it like that.
Well, speaking of adoption, we see a more and more adoption of Lightning and Bitcoin in developing countries. What is needed, do you think, to have more adoption in other countries? So not only the developing countries, where there is more competition with existing fiat systems, that perhaps in the Netherlands also everything works very good. So how can we grow adoption over here? Then we can...
I always say that it's very hard to convince somebody in the West that they need Bitcoin and Lightning payments right now, because they have lots of working alternatives. So definitely, as you already mentioned, the developing world has much more use cases for it and recognizes that what's important for them. So I think that that kind of adoption will be driven by people who either have families in the West, so they maybe start using it for remittances, or have just traveled other countries and realized that developing world is light years ahead of Europe, again, basically in everything except maybe a couple of details.
I was thinking, because what transactions on the Lightning Network are more private than with on-chain transactions, but do you think that mass adoption will be eventually a problem for governments, for instance, in the future, to allow Lightning adoption to go any further? What's your take on that?
I hate this narrative, because we should denormalize the fact that it's normal for a government to spy in your wallet.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So, we should not start from the premise that additional privacy is bad and what will the government do? We need to reclaim our privacy back and fight for it.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. But that means that for the people, there is a bigger, it's more important. So that will, in the end, I believe, will grow further and further, and governments will stay behind, because it's not possible to regulate it when it's developing, right? Because it goes so fast. Some things are not to be changed, I think. Well,
absolutely. We need to add more privacy and use more privacy tools instead of less. And it's going to take a while, but even the West will realize that they're not as free as we think we are. So I think the change is coming sooner rather than later.
And that needs to be the narrative when explaining it and when educating other people. So talking about that problem and then seeing the part of the solution within Lightning and Bitcoin.
The narrative should not be you use Bitcoin, you use Lightning. The narrative is we have a tool that enables you to do something cool, indeed, something better, faster.
Because if from a developer standpoint, man, those use cases, everything's possible with Lightning, right? Really.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear something, Steph.
It's time again.
Yeah.
Hey, and if you look back to the last 4 years of Lightning development, so much things were developed the last 4 years, and have to look 4 years in the future. Where do you think that we are with Lightning then? Are we using it at the BTC mall, for instance? Or what is your take on it?
Oh, Lightning will definitely grow in all directions, and as you hinted, the development has been insane in the last couple of years. It's just one of the reasons why we also built the Lightning Landscape tool, just to discover new things, because I live this space and I still can't follow everything that's happening. But I definitely see that we'll have more and more real actual applications that people are using. We need to bring people through the utility of what Lightning Network provides, just trying to orange pill them that it's better because it's Bitcoin.
That's we had some other guests that also were saying that it's very important to look at it that way. Hey, and you just to finish it off, you just said the Lightning Landscape together with Peak Shift. I will add it in the show notes. You also launched a website to showcase all Lightning projects and companies. So if someone has a company or project and you're not on a website, you can apply. I think it's great to have all those builders and investors, journalists, researchers be able to meet and see what is out there. So thanks again.
Absolutely. That was our goal, to basically shine the light on everything that's happening in the space. Indeed. And try to bring people to the space and help them discover new things. And also, just for the show, we added a couple Easter eggs or maybe Christmas presents.
Ah,
more fitting. So for the real explorers of the lightning landscape,
awesome.
They might find some free sets.
cool. I just the other week added Connected World, but I didn't see the Easter egg. So I'm also going to look. great.
And then people can win the merchandise or the shirt you're wearing.
that's an addition, but... We have lots of plans to improve and add things to a lightning landscape. So
awesome.
Stay tuned and check it out.
Perfect. Really great. Yeah. We had a lot more questions, but it would be great to have you another time on the show. Then we can ask a lot more questions. We can do that. So thanks again.
Yeah, happy to come on board another time.
Connetti il mondo.
We have one question left for you, LGS. It was last week we had Adam Bilijan in the show, and he is the co-founder and CTO of Relay.app, an intuitive Bitcoin-only app for selling and buying Bitcoin. We asked him to come up with a question for you. Edward will play the audio file, and you can answer him.
What is the feature missing on Lightning for mass adoption?
Well, I think I kind of answered that with the previous one, but I think there's not one particular feature missing. What we're missing is creating more real-world use cases for people to use it, that they will be excited to use it, that either gaming or machine-to-machine payments, there's endless opportunities. So we need to focus on creating a very usable apps, great UX, maybe hide Lightning in the back end of things. And so it's just a tool and enable people to actually create some new cool things.
And you can integrate it wherever you want, right? I mean, looking at the Seti Moto app, which allows you to charge your electric vehicle using the Lightning Network. I mean, can be very helpful when you're in another country and your own card, it doesn't work. I mean, you can basically integrate it in every service that needs to have a payment rails, right?
Exactly. I'm very bullish on machine-to-machine payments, but also gaming. I haven't gamed in ages, but I've become addicted to Solitaire. It's impossible to explain why, but I keep playing up to the point that I need to ask Thunder Games to block my account, probably.
Oh, great. Awesome. But next time we have another guest. His name is Godhatso Ngako. I hope I pronounced it right, Steph. You're the expert.
I hope so, man.
He's a software developer born and raised in Pretoria, South Africa, and the founder of Machankura, and working on a project that make Bitcoin more accessible in his community. We want also to ask him a question from you. What can we ask him?
What role do you think the two custodial Lightning wallets will play in the mass adoption?
That's
perfect.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
So we could
connetti il mondo.
Yeah, you could talk.
just said so we continue the mass adoption questions.
Indeed.
It's always about mass adoption, right?
we just bounce it to the next one.
We always do. It's the easiest job, right? where can people follow you? Do you maybe have a Twitter or the Bold.observer website?
Bold.observer is our website. We're also on Twitter. My personal Twitter is AAALJS. Well, your list will be on show notes, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah, we will do.
And lightning-landscape.net is also, we're trying to update things regularly. So check everything out and follow us.
Perfect.
Of course, thanks. We will put it in show notes. Thanks again for being on the show, Aljaz. And we see each other next time.
Thank you for having me.
I'm certain of that.
Thanks. All right. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks. You too. And thanks for listening. And thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, Connect the World. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And of course, Bolt Observer can help you with that. next week, join us with Godhatso Ngako. Yeah, on the same lighting channel. Nasvidenie.
Bye.